Happy Monday here on the Monday Morning Joe podcast. Steve Isbitz here, JoeBucksFan.com. We are presented by Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai and Discount Garage Doors. At Lakeland Automall Ford Hyundai, the Black Friday sales event starts now. And there are some tremendous offers and deals. I got just caught up, lost in the website, thinking new car over the weekend. Save up to $12,000 off MSRP with Black Friday savings, including 0% APR financing for up to 6 years. $3,000 above KBB trade value on your trade. A nationwide lifetime warranty. Nationwide lifetime warranty. 1 year free scheduled maintenance and 5 years roadside assistance. The holidays just got better. Get your new ride before yours gets another year older and take advantage of the huge savings only at Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai. They are not open Thanksgiving, but they reopen very early, bright and early, 9 a.m. on Friday morning. Give a visit, lakelandautomall.com, lakelandford.com. At Lakeland Ford, ask for my buddy, Sean Sullivan, big Bucks fan, manager there. He will take care of you like you've never been taken care of before. And he's got some awesome Bucks insight as well. So definitely give that a shot. Discount Garage Doors. What can I say? 7 days a week, same day, free service call, estimate, diagnosis. They'll give it to you free. Most competitors charge for that. Same day, free service call, Discount Garage Doors. Visit them at dgdoors.com or just call today or anytime, 1-866-420-DOOR. They service the entire Tampa Bay area. They go all the way out to Orlando and beyond. This is a great local company, open 7 days a week. You can get your garage door fixed before Thanksgiving. You can get it all fixed. You can do it before Thanksgiving. Discount Garage Doors. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code for 10% off. They've got a wide range of doors, new doors, family owned and operated, state licensed. This is an awesome, awesome company. And remember, their name is Discount Garage Doors. That means great pricing. All right, here on the Monday Morning Joe podcast, this was something for me to really think about how I was going to handle today. Not for any reason other than, you know, how do I want to express without anyone misinterpreting or misjudging what I have to say about Jameis Winston? Because that's really what's on everyone's mind today. I was fired up about the win yesterday. This franchise needed a win. Dirk Cutter needed a win. We needed a win as fans to have a good close to this season and bring some interest and excitement and to see. I want to see players develop, and this may be something unique to me, but I think someone who's played a lot of sports, I want to see guys develop in games that matter, not on a team that's like 3-10 and a guy's playing sort of loose because you know what? It doesn't really matter. Well, you know what? At 4-6, the Bucks have just bought themselves a game or two that really matter. And that's a great way to see these young guys develop, the Justin Evans, the Chris Godwins, the hopefully Peyton Barbers, if Dirk Cutter gets around to sticking the guy in the ball game and gets sick and tired of watching Doug Martin fail after fail after fail after fail, just like I do and have for a long time. And it's not all the offensive line. The offensive line doesn't get any A grades, but please go back and watch the film and see Doug Martin ignore holes or jump stop and when he doesn't have to. The guy's not running hard, doesn't have the burst, and it's a shame. It's not all him, but it's a lot on him. And forget about him. Forget about Martin for a second. Martin hasn't done enough for this coaching staff to say, hey, we're not going to go with a young guy who's had a little bit of success, and let's see what he's got. Or with Jaquizz Rodgers, who last played when he got the game ball, running the football, and did a hell of a job last year in a lot of spots. But I want to see guys in pressure situations. And the Bucks have bought themselves that. So I'm very grateful for that. When we, regardless of what happens tonight with Atlanta and the Seahawks, the Buccaneers have a game that's very meaningful to both teams coming up this Sunday. And it's going to be a great thing to see. I'm looking forward to it in Atlanta. But there's plenty to talk about the game and about the football. But Jameis, look, this was a kick in the gut to myself, somebody who's supported Jameis since before he was drafted. I personally have read every inch of everything, documents available regarding Jameis's rape allegation back at Florida State. So I, after reading all that, I concluded that I was willing to support Jameis, and that I certainly didn't believe his accuser on what happened on that night. But I also come to this with a background in non-sports journalism, in covering the court system, in covering police matters for the Tampa Tribune, in covering a wide variety of things. I spent years, after I got out of sports, I spent years as a news writer, and I had a lot of success with it, and I enjoyed it. And the Tampa Tribune gave me an opportunity to be very versatile for a couple of years, three-year stretch, really. I was given, you could say, the most freedom at the newspaper, or they relied on me in a various ways, however you want to call it. But I was covering police matters once a week on a weekend shift when all the weird stuff happens, and digging into documents for follow-ups and court-related matters and all kinds of things. So I do have a lot of experience, in addition to life experience, on the reporting end. And that was before fake news and all this nonsense. I don't know. We didn't engage in fake news at the Tribune in the early part of this century. I don't know. I don't know where that all came from, but that's another podcast for another day. But this Jameis thing stinks on a couple levels. And the number one level is, I know, because I've been told many ways, and I know it for a fact, that NFL teams, NFL players, are instructed by the league at the NFL Rookie Symposium, when they get to their club by the guys that handle the rookies and they're counseled, it's explained to them that if anything happens to you as a player, anything suspect, anything that calls into question your character, maybe a bar fight that there were no charges, but something happened, or whatever, anything that happens that's questionable, you're supposed to let your team know. You are supposed to let the team know. Anything happens, we want to know about it. One, they want to control the message and be prepared if something comes up in the media or publicly or whatever. And they want to help their players navigate whatever the situation is to maybe diffuse it or prevent it in the future or whatever it might be. And the NFL has, again, players have guys, men and women who are hired to work with players on these types of matters and to just manage them and counsel them and whatnot. So it seems very strongly here that Jameis did not report whatever happened with the Uber driver 20 months ago, the alleged crotch grabbing, and Uber then subsequent her reporting it, and then Uber subsequently ditching his Uber account. Jameis didn't let the Bucks know. And he was supposed to do that. And I guarantee you, especially Jameis Winston personally, given his history coming into the NFL and the scrutiny around him and all the various allegations and the little things that he got into, you know, I know they were probably extra hypersensitive to letting Jameis know, hey, if anything happens, let us know. Well, it seems per Dirk Cutter's comments on Friday that he was blindsided by this, and the way the organization reacted and did not react to this news when it broke on Friday from BuzzFeed tells me Jameis didn't let anybody know with the Bucks. He thought it would go away. And that was a real stupid decision by the quarterback. Stupid, stupid decision. One, for him not getting in front of this thing in the offseason when it wouldn't really blown up like this, and he could have gotten out in front of it from a public relations standpoint. But even if he didn't want to do that, which I wouldn't blame him for not wanting to go public with an accusation, but he should have let the team know so they were prepared for this, so everybody could be on board, because that's what he was told to do as an employee, and all the NFL rookies are told that. So that's a real bad decision by Jameis, and Jameis, unfortunately, in the court of public opinion, cannot afford to make bad decisions. So that stinks by Jameis right there. Really, really bad form. Because, look, if somebody lobs a groping accusation against me, you're damn right that I'm going to take that seriously and I'm going to think about it, and it's not going to just be brushed off in my mind. Jameis knew he should have told somebody about that. Maybe he told his own handlers and they told him to shut up. I don't know. But it's just bad. bad that he made that call. And it's different. The allegations against Jameis are different now that he's in a Buccaneers uniform. You're wearing the uniform, man. You are not in college anymore. Bad situation. But let's fast forward to where we are with this. Where we are is, my care is not necessarily for Jameis Winston personally. My care is about the Buccaneers, right? We're JoeBucksFan.com. That's why I got into this, because I love the Bucs. And we thought we could cover the team differently and more effectively and more fun and more interestingly than anybody else. So my care is with the team. And while I hope Jameis Winston is innocent and didn't do this, and this is just some pretty well-orchestrated ruse here, although it doesn't seem that way, given that the Uber driver didn't do anything other than report this to Uber 18 months ago. But we don't know. We certainly don't know. And now she's hired an attorney, and just so happens to be the attorney of Winston's past accuser. And I'll get to that in a little bit. But where it stands now, Jameis is in a situation where the league is hypersensitive with their new policies to any sort of domestic or sexual related assault or charges or anything that's violence against women. Of course, it all got rolling with Ray Rice. It all stems from the Ray Rice fallout when the NFL was pretty much sort of stunned that, okay, wow, we used to rely on the legal system and the legal system dropped this. So what are we going to do with Ray Rice? And this looks bad for us and all that whole mess. So we know that Ezekiel Elliott got suspended for 6 games. The courts upheld it. And basically the NFL can do whatever it wants. Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com, a friend of mine, somebody I've gotten to know over the years. And I take great pleasure in that. I like Mike, even though I know some other people don't. But I like Mike, and I appreciate and respect so much of what he's done. And he's been a great friend to JoeBucksFan.com, and he's definitely the most powerful man in NFL media. If you think otherwise, sorry, Peter King, it's Mike Florio. But Mike Florio's a former attorney, and he's followed all the legal issues of the NFL going back to, gosh, it's got to be Mike Vick and maybe a little bit even before that. But Florio's made it clear to everybody on Sunday Night Football as well as on his website that if you step out of line in any way, if the NFL believes that, if they believe that you're guilty or believe that you might be guilty or they believe you're accuser, you're going to get 6 games suspension. And there's nothing you can do about it. No court can save you. Facts can't save you. There's nothing that can save you. And Jameis Winston is probably staring down the barrel of a 6-game suspension unless he can show enough to the NFL, not to the court system, not to the cops, nothing. Can he show enough to the NFL to be believed 100%, not 80%, 100%? Otherwise, he's going to be looking at a suspension. Now, we don't know if his accuser here, the driver, the Uber driver, Kate, whose name isn't out there yet, will she cooperate with the NFL? I imagine that she will, because her attorney's going to tell her to cooperate with the NFL. And we've already learned that the NFL, according to her attorney's tweets, has been contacted by them demanding that they look into Jameis's new witness, Ronald Darby, his friend from Florida's Florida State days, a guy who's got his own checkered past of accusations. They want to look into Ronald Darby's phone records and do a forensic examination of his GPS on his phone to see if he was really in the Uber with Jameis. The accuser now is standing firm with her attorney that there was only Jameis in the car. Jameis says there were two other guys, or Darby says there were two others in the car with Jameis, including himself. And Jameis says there were more people in the car. He's not giving an exact number on it. So that's a firm line in the sand right there. Very firm line in the sand. And how that's going to translate? Did the Uber driver report how many passengers she had, which is often the case with pickups and things, and not always? There's a lot to consider there for the NFL. But the point by Florio, and the point that's relevant to us as fans, is that the Bucs may lose Jameis for 6 games if Roger Goodell and his crew believe that Jameis might be guilty. Might be guilty. That's where we are in the NFL now. That's the society we are in as Bucs fans. If you might be guilty of this kind of issue or assault, whatever you want to call it, then that's what you're looking at. Not everybody likes that the NFL society is being run that way, but that's it. In this PC culture, in this guilty till proven innocent culture of the NFL, that's what they want, and that's the way it is. And we're not here to sit here and talk about it. Doesn't mean I like it on every level, but whatever. That's the way it is. So another thing in the case that's going on is that a lot of people are making a big deal. The Tampa Bay Times first wrote about this, and then it was national over the weekend. Oh, the Jameis voicemail sent to him by Uber, apparently at the time when he was disputing the claim by the driver, Uber contacted him to say, hey, you or someone else in your vehicle, blah, 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 did this, and we'd like to talk to you about it. Well, to me, my life experience says that was a script, basically read probably by a $12 or $13 or $14 an hour Uber employee who calls back people who've been accused of something to see if they want to respond before they pull somebody's account. It just sounded like a script. You or somebody else in your car. You know, that's just that simple. Uber doesn't track drivers and passengers and who's in the vehicle and the names and that sort of thing. That's not the way Uber operates. So it sounded like a script, not like an aha. See, they said you or somebody else in your riding under your account. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. So I think that's worth noting. And that language, those semantics, Jameis clearly wanted that released, but I don't think it means anything. So we'll find out more. I expect Uber to cooperate greatly with this. They have a lot to lose by not cooperating to the fullest extent. And the NFL is going to turn around to Jameis and say, you know what? Give me your phones. We're going to study your phones. We're going to study everything. Darby, you too. You play for the Eagles. We want everything. And if you don't cooperate with the NFL, Tom Brady's learned the hard way that you don't cooperate, you're going to get fined and suspended. So it's a mess. Unless Jameis didn't do anything, it's a mess for the franchise and a huge decision for the Glazers coming up, because no matter what happens here, it's clear that Jameis will have lost a lot of trust around the Tampa Bay area, unless he's completely somehow cleared of this and it's totally bogus. He'll have lost a lot of trust in the community, a lot of trust within the team, and that becomes a problem when the Bucs are considering making him their franchise quarterback going forward. You know, Jameis is in the third year of his deal. Next year is year four. The fifth year, the Bucs would have an option, and they'd want to exercise it, so that would probably pay him like 20-something million at that time. By then, about $24, $25 million for that fifth-year option. And then do they want to make him the long-term deal before that and lock him up? It's a big decision for the Glazers, one they don't have to make right now. They can wait and see what happens. But if he's going to get suspended and you're going to give him another chance, you want this thing to be swift. You want this to be wrapped up in a week so Jameis can be suspended for the final six games of this season and for the organization to figure out how it's going to paint the picture and say, look, it's unclear what happened here. And, you know, there's a lot of disputed stuff, but the NFL's being diligent and in its policy, whether we like it or not. And we're going forward with Jameis. He'll be back next year. If this thing drags on, it's a problem. It's just a mess, an absolute mess. I don't know what the Bucs are going to do. I don't know where the ownership is at, and they're going to be doing their own digging. And speaking of digging, a lot of people think that this dug the grave of Jason Light, the general manager, because, hey, Jason is the guy who doesn't have a contract for next season. He also was the guy responsible for leading the massive, massive, expensive investigation into Jameis's background and the likelihood of him ever getting in trouble again. That really was Jason Light's job, spearheading the investigation into the quarterback during the draft process. And whether Jameis did anything or not, again, the NFL is not about fair. This doesn't stand for fairness. The NFL stands for the realities within its little wacky world of justice. And Jason Light's job was to draft a guy who wasn't going to get in any of this kind of trouble. And Jameis, here he is. He's in this kind of trouble. And is it fair to blame it on Light? Probably not, but that's the business world. Light was responsible for figuring this out. So here we are. Here we sit with Jameis, who not only got himself into this mess, he covered it up. And that's not the guy that they were supposed to have drafted. That's not the guy we researched, Jason Light. So maybe the Glazers hold that against him. I don't know. It's a mess right now. I expect for it to change every couple of days. This is going to move forward quickly, although we have Thanksgiving coming up, which is probably going to delay things. So I take that back. But with relatively speaking, hopefully this whole thing is wrapped up within 2 or 3 weeks, but you just don't know. Ira Kaufman is calling on Jameis, Joe Bucks fan columnist, Tampa Bay Hall of Fame voter, the Sage. Ira Kaufman is calling on Jameis to address this stuff publicly from a podium quickly with local media and answering questions. It's a good point by Ira. I mean, if you got nothing to hide, you got nothing to hide. If you want to get out in front of it, that's the way you do it. But I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the Bucks want that to happen. And you know what? When players are not playing because of injury, typically all NFL teams do not make them available to the media when they're hurt because there's nothing to say and they don't want questions about, hey, medical questions posed at a player and him speculating about a return. They just sort of, the guy disappears from the media face, from the media landscape when he's hurt. So in some ways it's very good for the Bucks that Jameis has been, the timing of all this comes out when Jameis has been injured. Otherwise he would have taken to the podium after the game yesterday and he'd be have his mandatory media time on Wednesday or someday this week. So in some ways the timing played out well for the Bucks for minimal distractions. We'll see. We'll see what happens with Mr. Winston. It's a mess. Absolute mess. I feel badly for Bucks fans. I care about the fans. It's where my allegiance is. And this just sucks for fans, for all of us who want a franchise quarterback for our team, just don't want to be mired in BS, and that's where we are right now. But we are also with a team that's 4-6. And real quick, I want to mention that you can catch this podcast, if you're listening, wherever you're listening, you can also find it on joebucksfan.com, obviously, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. You can subscribe at all those places. It's free. You just get an alert when the podcast posts, and we appreciate it. You can also leave a comment, good or bad, hate it, love it, whatever. I appreciate all the comments, and definitely do that. Do it right on your app, right on your phone. Whatever it is, doesn't take too long. With iTunes, you could just subscribe on your phone, just hit podcasts, and it's very easy. So appreciate all the listeners and all the positive feedback. And I like just, it helps me to vent, to just let it all rip here on a Monday. I enjoy that. So thanks for being there for me. The podcast continues to grow, and which is always pretty darn cool. Also want to mention that if you go to joebucksfan.com, you're going to see a link for 25% off with the Joe Bucks Fan code to the NFL Photo Store. It's right there on all pages on joebucksfan.com. And this is pretty darn cool. 25%. You can shop for a fan and you can get any kind of picture. It doesn't have to be the Bucks. Any kind of picture of players, and they'll do custom framing. And it's really, really top-notch photographs. Great gift opportunities for the football fan in your life. Check it out. Joe Bucks Fan gets you 25% off, which is a huge discount, and it's all through the NFL. This is not some sideline scam-ish kind of thing. NFLphotostore.nfl.com. But use the link off Joe Bucks Fan, and you'll get 25% off. So go shopping. Go do it. All right. The Bucks won yesterday, and a lot of people are bitching about the play calling. Dirk got so conservative late. He got conservative. He almost cost us the game. You know, we've written about this on Joe Bucks Fan, and Lee DeKemper and I are in lockstep with this. Guys screaming about this. Ryan Fitzpatrick is the quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Dirk Cutter knows who Ryan Fitzpatrick is. You knew who Ryan Fitzpatrick was last year. And before he was signed by the Bucks, he was Ryan Fitzpatrick. Interception machine, not great arm strength, not a starting quarterback in the NFL, not a guy who's going to win you a lot of games. And you know what? Dirk Cutter doesn't want to put too much on Ryan Fitzpatrick's plate, doesn't want to push it. You know what? When he had time to get a little conservative with Fitzpatrick, he did. Fitzpatrick's 48, 69 and 1 as a career starter. That's just not an accident. He was brutal last season, thinking of retiring. He's 35 years old. Cutter was not going to have a lead in this game and start winging the ball around the field to stomp out Miami and take chances like that. They didn't have the ball much in the second half, mostly because the defense was starting to crumble, starting to fade. And yes, they needed the offense to get them off the field, and that's why Cutter rambles about complimentary football. But if you go watch the game again without the emotion, watch the second half. I mean, come on. What do you want? It's Ryan Fitzpatrick out there. I agree, use DeSean Jackson a little bit more, but I haven't watched the film copy yet to see what might have been going on with DeSean Jackson. But the running game stinks, and for what Fitzpatrick accomplished yesterday with no running game, that's as much as you're going to get. Don't push it. Cutter's job is to win games. He's not here to rack up style points and all kinds of things to satisfy fans and to make people believe he's a good offensive coordinator. Cutter looks at himself as a guy who's been calling plays for 30-plus years. He's a guy who's had a top-10 offense with three different franchises, with three different quarterbacks in very different situations. He knows what he's doing. Doesn't mean he's a Hall of Fame play caller, but it's a team game. And the biggest thing killing the Bucs right now is no running game. And I'll say this again without the vitriol that I had early in the podcast. You look at Doug Martin and you just slow down the film, use some stop, hit the pause button. There are holes there that he's just not hitting. His vision and decision-making is not good. A lot of the times, not all, but a lot of the times he's getting hit in the backfield. He doesn't have to be hit in the backfield. Or he wouldn't be hitting the backfield if he was barreling forward, hitting the hole hard. He doesn't do that anywhere near like he used to. Yet Cutter keeps going back to him. And I'll hang that on Cutter. A big reason is ball security. Martin hasn't fumbled this year. He didn't have a fumbling problem last year either. And he looks good in practice. And you know what? Cutter can still rely on him in his mind. So that's where he's getting conservative, I think, in using Doug Martin, a guy who he trusts with ball security, and just hopes that Martin will snap out of it versus going with a Peyton Barber or a Jaquizz Rodgers. I don't get it. But the running game's killing the Bucs. And I don't have a problem, though, otherwise, with Cutter's play calling. And that's a big deal, running and who you're running and how you're running. But it's... I don't even think it's worth debating because it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. You won, you figured it out. That's good enough. I thought one call that was very interesting was the quarterback sneak from the 1 yard line. Bucks were backed up and they go QB sneak with Fitzpatrick and he gets like a yard and a quarter, which, you know what? We saw Jameis Winston over and over again, not sneak on third or fourth and short, and Cutter say, well, Jameis just isn't that guy. And we're going to hand the ball off to the professional runners. There's Fitzpatrick on the goal line, and he's running a quarterback sneak. I thought that was very interesting just from the things that Cutter doesn't usually do. But look, finally Cutter got O.J. Howard involved, pulled him out of mothballs. He got Chris Godwin involved late. Guy came up clutch. Any win on the road is a good win. The Dolphins, guys, they have the most expensive, the highest paid defensive line in football. It's not a bunch of slappies on their D line there. The blitzes, they were doing some uncharacteristic blitzes for the Dolphins, who actually are the worst team in the league on the blitz before they face the Bucks. And for this win for the Bucks is a good win. Despite the mistakes, the big plays, how they didn't cover, I think it was Jarvis Landry in the end zone on the early touchdown. It's like, how do you watch film all week long and you get to the first quarter of a game against the Dolphins and you're not covering that guy in the end zone? I mean, that was just brutal to me. But It's not perfect, but you know what? There are a lot of loud voices all around town, all around JoeBucksFan.com, all around my text line, my voicemail, everywhere. A lot of guys saying the team gave up on Cutter. They're mailing it in. He's not the right head coach. He's lost the team. Well, he hasn't lost the team now. You can't say that. They came out. They've been playing hard. They've been playing with passion. And that's really what we were looking for throughout the first half of the season, which we didn't see all the time. We saw a team way too much deer in the headlights and not looking like it was caring all the time. Well, we got a lot better in that department the last 2 weeks. And that's not good for it to happen to a coaching staff. Still, it happened. We're past it. And now we've got a real test. The Cutter regime gets its real test. 6 games in a row to close this season against winning football teams, at least 500 football teams. That's going to test the mettle of this club, test the mettle of the coaching staff. And this is exactly where we want to be. Like I said, to open up, you got to have games that matter. And that's the best way to evaluate your roster. And here we go. So at least we're there. At least we're at that point. The Chucky rumors, the Gruden rumors, to me, I'm just not sold that Gruden is the right head coach for the Buccaneers. Doesn't mean he's a bad head coach, but I have questions about Gruden, his motivation, his real interest. I'm always skeptical, again, I've said it before, of a guy who retires from what he says is his life's passion. Gruden retired at 45 years old. He didn't. He got fired by the Bucs, but he had a million other offers, but he said, no, I'm not coaching. Yet at the same time, he tells everybody he's in love with coaching, and he would have been paid what ESPN paid him. He would have gotten paid that in college if he wanted to, or in the NFL. I'm not knocking the guy, but it's suspect when somebody who loves it that much walks away for so many years. You got to wonder, how much do they really love it? How much is just an act? And Gruden's a heck of an actor. Plus, now with Jameis's situation being up in the air, you know, Gruden and Jameis and Gruden's desire or lack of desire for a young quarterback, it's an interesting mix. I don't like the Gruden rumors. I'm rooting for Coach Cutter. I think Coach Cutter has done a lot of good things. I think he's got a lot to improve on. But I think the Bucs got into this knowing that they had a newer head coach who's got to learn as he goes, who's got to improve, who's got Mike Smith there as a steadying hand, and we'll see. We'll see where this goes. I'm not writing off Dirk Cutter. I'm certainly not getting on a trumpet, blowing it for Chucky and doing all kinds of things that you see out there in the media and by some fans. But fans are pretty split on Dirk Cutter right now, and rightfully so. He's got more to prove, and thankfully we've got good games, important games to prove it. So a little bit more out of yesterday's game. Well, Patrick Murray, what a godsend that guy is. I can't remember now if it was Kenny Stills or Landry who caught that early touchdown. I guess it doesn't matter if I screwed that up or not. You get the idea. That early touchdown, neither one of those guys can't be alone in the end zone. It was a mess up. Gerald McCoy, go back and watch the tape. Please go back and watch the tape and just see how dominant McCoy was in this game. They're struggling to block him with 3 guys. I saw that twice on the film. He really did a heck of a job. Should have had another sack if he could have pulled off Matt Moore a little faster. It was like a half-yard gain on what really should have been another sack. But anyway, McCoy, 7 combined tackles, 3 quarterback hits, a sack. He's got 5 sacks, puts him 2nd in the NFC among defensive tackles. I wrote the headline on Joe Bucks Fan, Ndamukong who? He outplayed his draft year rival. Great day for McCoy to step up. Quan did a lot of good things. Levante David made his plays. I mean, Brent Grimes had some really hidden good plays, very hidden strong plays in that game. The Bucs are a team that it's just so sad that they've been left so dry with an edge rusher, and that's all on Jason Light. It's 100% on you, Mr. Light. T.J. Ward is not a good football player right now. That's also on Jason Light, bringing that guy in. But the defense, man, they're really not that far away. It's just so darn frustrating when you see it and you know exactly where the health, where the needs are, but the team didn't address it. It's just incredibly frustrating. But you know what? They played hard. Nobody can question that. There is talent out there. When you have talent and you play hard, you're going to get turnovers. You're going to make plays, as these guys like to say. And that's what they did yesterday. They made plays without help from the offense. They were left on the field too long for all those turnovers and all that success by Ryan Fitzpatrick. They were on the field way too long. But you know what? They got the job done. They've played better. And that's where we are. So, hey, thanks for listening to me ramble. Discount Garage Doors, Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai. We're going to keep it covered on the Jameis situation like nobody else. If we're not digging it up, we're going to share what everybody else dug up. There's no ego on JoeBucksFan.com. We'll share anybody else's work and point you in the right direction so you can be the best Bucks fan you can be. One thing to watch out for, it's going to be interesting to see if any of the Buccaneers team sponsors, as this thing goes along, will a team sponsor like a Publix or pick your name, will they jump off the Bucks bandwagon if the Bucks keep Jameis? That could swing a lot here because you don't want sponsors pulling out when you're a team like the Bucks that's fighting so hard to get them, and that's a horrible look as well. And that can steamroll in a hurry. You lose a sponsor, another one says, oh, well, we should jump off too if this guy jumps off. That's an issue, and that's in the climate we are with the serial groping going on or the revelations going on across local politics, national politics. We're seeing it in Florida politics, which is what I meant by local, Hollywood, wherever. There's no groping at JoeBucksFan.com world headquarters, I promise you that. But this can steamroll and get out of control on the Glazers in a hurry, and that's something to keep an eye out for as this thing goes along. I'm glad I got the Bucks prediction right, that they would beat Miami, so I felt good about that. Atlanta, we'll see. I'm not making a prediction yet. You'll have to listen to the Ira Kaufman podcast for that. I haven't thought about it enough. I want to see Atlanta play tonight, so that's my out. Stick with us here at Joe Bucks Fan. We appreciate it. Appreciate you listening to the entire JoeBucksFan.com family of podcasts, and have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy your families. Appreciate what you have. Appreciate your Bucks for what they are, not for what they're not. And then you can get all pissed off on Friday or next Sunday if they lose. All right. Appreciate it, guys.